making technology, and has been on the Golf Digest Technical Advisory Panel for more than 10 years. He also serves as the technical advisor to the PGA of America's website. Tom Grundner is a retired college professor who, as a second career, became a master golf club maker. He lives in Tucson, Arizona, where he indulges his first loves of building handcrafted custom putters and writing books about the 18th century Royal Navy. And now, 12 Myths That Could Wreck Your Golf Game, read by John Grasset.
The game of golf is treading water these days. Each year, about the same number of people leave the game as start playing. When surveyed, one of the major reasons given by those who give it up is frustration with the game. But the question has to be asked, how much of that frustration is the result of a game that is admittedly inherently frustrating to even the best players? And how much of it is caused by equipment-induced frustration? How many of those golfers simply hit a grass ceiling where they find themselves trapped in a nightmare of publicly embarrassing poor performance caused by equipment that not only will not, but cannot possibly meet their needs? Thinking they're playing with equipment that's properly designed and fitted, after all, they paid enough for that stuff. They can then only ascribe their failings to themselves, to their own ineptitude, and give up on the game. Golf clubs are among the most superbly designed instruments ever crafted for use in a game. Every inch of the club has a purpose and a clear rationale for why it is the way it is. It is 100% pure, engineered function. So why, then, are so many golfers out there slashing away like cavemen with tree limbs in their hands? Part of the problem, I believe, is that most golfers know next to nothing about how to select clubs that are designed to maximize the strengths and minimize the weaknesses in their swings. They know little more than what they read in golf equipment advertising and Golf Channel infomercials. Now, I'll have to admit, those ads rarely lie, but they almost never tell you the whole truth. So armed with nothing more than these semi-truths, the golfing public spends $4.7 billion a year on equipment, hoping and expecting that with the right stuff, they'll play the game better and enjoy it more. Golf is about having fun. The 12 myths presented in this audiobook are about understanding its tools better and removing some of the barriers that keep it from being more fun for more people. Myth number one. Modern golf clubs hit farther than clubs of even a few years ago. In reality, no, they don't. What you're seeing basically is a marketing gimmick. Let's begin at the beginning. Three things primarily determine the distance you hit a golf ball: the loft of the club head, the length of the shaft, and the speed with which you swing. There is also this factor. The longer the length of a club, the lower its loft, the heavier its weight, and the stiffer its shaft, the harder the club will be to hit. Over the past few years, your swing speed has probably stayed about the same, but unfortunately, the loft angles and the shaft length of your clubs have not. Each year, in order to say their clubs hit farther, the club companies have been tinkering with the loft angles of your club heads, lowering them a bit at a time each year. As a result, every club in the set has moved up at least one, if not two numbers. So, when you go to a driving range for demo day, and you're hitting a 6-iron farther than you would hit your old 5-iron, you know why? It's because that shiny new 6-iron in your hands was a 5-iron only a few years ago, and probably a 4-iron a few years before that. In some ways, it would be comical if it didn't have such sad results. It has resulted in golfers unknowingly carrying clubs that are, in effect, designed from the factory to be unhittable in the hands of the average golfer, and has forced golfers to buy additional clubs that they otherwise would not have needed. Again, let me start with some background. In the world of club design, there is something called the 24-38 rule. Basically, it says that the average golfer cannot hit an iron that has less than 24 degrees of loft or more than 38 inches of length. The reason is, a club like that requires a swing precision that most amateurs don't have the time or the ability to acquire. A few years ago, the 24-38 line fell on the other side of the 3-iron. So, when you bought a set of clubs, you bought a 3-iron through pitching wedge, and you could reasonably expect to hit each of those clubs. Because of the vanishing loft disease I just described, the 24-38 line has now moved to the other side.